Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
What's up, everybody? You guys know I have three sons. If you're a guest, you don't know that. It's weird. Of course you don't know that. You never met me before. I have three sons. Fifth grade, third grade, first grade. David is in fifth. John is in third. And Jacob is in first grade. My middle son, John, is a great kid, but he has one obsession that's driving me insane. He is obsessed with infomercials. Yeah. Raise your hand if you like infomercials. Last hour, I had one guy say amen. We prayed for him. But my son, John, loves infomercials, man. Like, he is passionate about infomercials. And it's because he's young and he's innocent and he hasn't developed the healthy skepticism that you and I take for granted. Every time he sees an infomercial, he gets sucked in. He believes it. He's like, there is a problem. And yes, there is a better way. Why didn't I think of that? And he comes running to his mother. He goes running to me and says, guys, you will not believe what I just saw on television. It is going to change our life. And he's so passionate about it. And he's so convinced. And we have to figure out how to be like, hey, buddy, they're lying. Like, it's not gonna work. It's funny because the skepticism that I'm talking about, like, you don't realize it, but you have it and it works without you even activating it. Like if you're flipping through the channels and the infomercial comes on, like, you immediately, your guard goes up. It's like the same skepticism when you hear, like, when you see, like, a political commercial for either side. You know, you're just like, wow, that can't be true, right? We just have this built-in, ingrained skepticism that, unfortunately, we've kind of developed over time because we need it. Because we've had too many people in our life and too many things in our life promise us something that didn't deliver. Promise us something that when we tried it, it didn't do what we wanted. And we're sick of getting our hopes up. We're sick of getting hurt. So we have this skepticism that we feel is valid. Now, the reason I bring that up, right, is because that skepticism can be overcome if we are aware of it and we turn it off for a period of time. And what I'm going to ask you to do today is for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to ask you to turn off your skepticism filter. And it's going to be difficult. I'm telling you right at the top, it's going to be difficult. But I'm going to ask you to turn it off because I believe if you can turn it off, what we're going to talk about today really does and really will have the potential to change your life if you let it. But here's why you're going to be skeptical. I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front. The reason you're going to be skeptical is because what we're going to talk about today sounds too good to be true. It does not sound practical. It does not sound like something we can actually do. And even if it is something we could do, for us, it's going to feel virtually impossible. And you're going to think, there's no way I can do this. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front. Join me, if you will, for the next 30 minutes. Just take off that filter. Just put it aside. At the end of 30 minutes, if you still think it sounds crazy, put it back on. You have complete permission for me to walk out of here skeptical. I understand if that's what you want to do. What I'm asking is for you to give me 30 minutes. 30 minutes where you remove that filter, 30 minutes where you just remove that and just be open to the idea of what if? What if what we're going to talk about today were actually possible? What if what we're going to talk about today were actually true? Wouldn't it be better? That's the question. Wouldn't it be better? Don't you hope it's true? Now, we're wrapping up our series today. We're wrapping up Sticks and Stones. We're wrapping up the series about words, about our communication, and about the power of our communication. And if you, this is your first week or you've been out a couple of weeks, man, I encourage you, go to this website. Go to wellspringchurch.tv/sticks and stones. We have every week of our series up right there. We have every single week up. And I really encourage you, if you hear something today, if something piques your interest, if you're like at the end of our time, but if you're like, yeah, I want to try that, I want to try to apply that in my life, and you missed a couple of weeks, go back and check out those weeks because they've all been building to today. See, we've been talking about words. In week one, we simply talked about how powerful our words were. We don't think our words are powerful. We think other people's words are very powerful. But we tend to miss the power of our own words. Week two, Jesus shared with us why our words are so powerful. They're powerful because they reveal what's going on inside of us. Most of us walk around with pain, with fear, with doubt, with regret, with jealousy, with hurt, with all this stuff inside of us that we try to hide. And when things get heated, our words reveal what's going on inside of us, and that's what causes pain in other people. But we learned week two, Jesus can actually begin to heal us from the inside out. He can heal what's going on inside of us, and we don't have to continue to live that way. Last week, we talked about a new strategy, a new approach when you find yourself in a heated conversation, when you find yourself about to get into an argument. And the approach really came down to a simple choice. When you're in the middle of an argument, you have a choice. You can choose to be curious or you can choose to be furious, but you can't do both. And what I challenge you to do is, again, through the help of Jesus, to be like, hey, I'm going to step back rather than trying to get my point across, rather than just getting angry. I'm going to choose to be curious in this moment, curious about what's going on inside of them. Why are they asking these questions? Why are they doing this? What's the real problem here? So that you can try to provide some help instead of some harm. And again, if you missed the last 3 weeks, I encourage you to go back and check them out because we're kind of moving forward today. And what I want to do today is I kind of want to wrap it all up. And I want to present to you as best I can a path forward. See, a lot of what we've been talking about is the past. We've been talking about things that have happened to us, but we can't really change the past. There's a lot of value in the past. We can learn from the past. That's what we're going to talk about starting in 2 weeks with I Love the 90s. But today, I want to talk about the future. I want to talk about how we move forward. And what I want to give you is a new approach, what I believe is a better approach, a new standard for how we communicate with each other. And this new standard is where I'm going to need you to remove your skepticism cap. Because when I give you the new standard, you are going to want to roll your eyes. You are going to want to say, that's not possible. That's not practical. What about this? What would my wife do? What would my husband do? What would my boss do? I can't do this. I'll be taken advantage of. Nobody could do this. It's not practical, Trey. It's not possible. It sounds too good to be true. That's what you're going to want to say. But what I'm asking you to do is to let that go for just a few minutes. And to consider the possibility, what if this were possible? What if this could actually come to reality and be a part of our lives? Wouldn't it be better? And what I think we're going to discover today is it's not impossible. It is possible. And in fact, it has been God's plan for his people all along. Now, to help you understand why I say that, obviously at Wellspring, what I say doesn't really matter. We always go to what God says. And the way we know what God says is because his followers wrote it down. And today we're going to turn to a guy we turn to often here at Wellspring, and his name is Paul. Paul's story is an amazing story. Paul's story is of a guy who didn't believe in Jesus, had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus radically transformed his life. Many of you have had the same story. But what God decided to do through Paul was when God changed Paul's life, at the time, the church really only existed in Jerusalem. It was very, very early. It was like maybe 15, 20 years after Jesus had died and gone and risen from the dead and ascended back into heaven. Church was very young, very early. And so Paul, God picks and says, hey, Paul, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go spread this message around the world. And so Paul is really the first church planter. Paul goes and starts churches in different cities around the Mediterranean Sea. And what Paul would do is he would go to this area, he would meet people, he would tell them about Jesus, he would lead them to Jesus, he would start like a little small group, he would build it, he would anoint leaders and pick pastors, and then he would say, okay, you guys are good, and he would go start another one. And that's kind of what Paul did. Paul would go lead people to Jesus, start churches that were healthy, and then he'd go start another one. But there's something else he did. Paul would then write letters to those churches. He would write letters to them to give them instructions so that they would know how to live. See, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have anything they could read. They didn't have anything. And so Paul would write them letters to answer questions and to give them instructions. And what, as Christians, what we believe is we believe that God himself was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters. So 2,000 years later, we can read these letters, and it's like God is speaking to us. Some of the letters are very specific. Some of the letters were more general. The letter we're going to look at today, Paul originally wrote to the church at Ephesus. But this was a really cool letter. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, but he said, hey, after you read it, maybe make a copy of it, and then I want you to pass this around. because this is a universal letter. Because what the letter was about was the church. And it was about how to follow Jesus. And it was about how when you have a relationship with Jesus, it should change you from the inside out. And your life should be different. And in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about our words. Paul specifically addresses how we should communicate with each other. And what he does is completely raise the standard. He basically says the way you communicate is wrong. And if Jesus is in you, the way you communicate should be different. And what he does is he gives us a completely new, better, radical standard. A standard that when you hear it, you are going to think that is too good to be true. A standard that when you hear it, you're going to say that is impossible. But I'm here to tell you today, not only is it possible, it's God's plan. So, have I sufficiently built up what Paul's about to say? Are we there? If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And it's in verse 29 where Paul presents to us this radical new standard for Christians and for how we should communicate with other people. Here's what he says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I told you it was crazy. Now, before you start pushing back, before you start saying, whoa, 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 what about this? Yeah, but what about that? Are you saying, hold on, just stop. And just ask yourself this question. Would your life be better if this were the standard of communication? Would your marriage be better? Would your parenting be better? Would your workplace be better? Students, would your relationship with your parents be better if this were the standard? Is there anyone in the room who would say, nope, that would be worse? Is there anyone who would say, can't do that? No, we would all say, yes, were this possible, this would be better. So why not try it? Let me kind of break down what Paul's saying. All right, let's go back through the verse. Let me really explain to you what he's saying here. Take the beginning. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do not let any unwholesome talk. If you're like me, like your first thought is like cussing, right? Like he's saying, don't cuss, you know, which is a good idea. Hey, don't do that. Don't cuss, you know, or don't tell dirty jokes or something like that. But what he's really saying is broader than that. In the context of what we've been saying in this series, he's saying, don't let anything come out of your mouth that has some weight on it. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that's attached to hurt and pain and that you are intending to use as a weapon, that you are intending to use to hurt someone or to win the argument or to prove your point. Like, don't do that. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And to make sure he understands exactly what he means, he continues to define unwholesome. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. So if you didn't know what unwholesome was, he clarifies it by saying, only what is helpful for building others up. Only what is helpful to them. Now just think, let's be honest here, of how many words would never come out of your mouth. If that half was the standard. Nothing unwholesome, nothing unhelpful, only what's going to build others up. What if that was your standard? There's some things we'd have to change. There's some things I have to change about myself. I shared this last hour. Many of you know TJ. TJ is our worship leader. He's the guy who did the offering just then. So if you're a guest today, that's TJ. TJ and I are very good personal friends. And TJ and I share a spiritual gift you may not be aware of. We share the spiritual gift of sarcasm. It's a blessing. We practice that gift freely. And I've told myself for years, oh, but it's funny. It's okay because it's funny. What Paul's saying is, well, is it helpful? Is the goal of that sarcasm, is the goal of that joke, is the goal of that word to help them and to build them up? Because if it's not, what Paul would say is don't let it come out of your mouth. Think about that. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. He's not done. Then he says this, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, let me be very clear about what that means. That means you can only help people when you know how they need help. That means if you don't know them, you shouldn't talk about them. That means if you don't know them, you should not talk about them on Facebook, in comments on the internet, in your passion project post where you've got to take your stand. Paul says, hey, that ain't helpful because you don't know them. You don't know what they're going through, and they're never going to see what you said. So what Paul's saying is, hey, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let me sum it up for you. Here's really what Paul's saying. Here's the new standard that I want to talk about today. Here's the new standard that I want to challenge you to embrace and apply in your lives in an effort to bring your life and heart in line with what Jesus wants for you. Are you ready? Here's the new standard. If it won't build them up, I need to zip it up. You better clap for that. I almost said shut up, but I'm told that's a cuss word in some house. If it won't build them up, I need to zip it up. Zip it. Exhibit A. Zip it up. Zip it. Zip. Just think how your life would be different if this were applied. I know some of you say, man, that sounds so difficult. I don't know if I want to do it. Let me ask you a reverse question. How would you feel if everyone in your life practiced this with you? Well, no, that sounds pretty great, doesn't it? If everyone in your life filtered every comment, every word, every text, every tweet, everything that was directed towards you through the filter of, man, if it won't build them up, I need to zip it up. Now, I know some of you, you're thinking, now, Trey, does this mean that we don't have hard conversations? Does this mean we don't have tough conversations? Are you saying we tell everybody they just do a good job all the time and that we never push back? Of course not. Of course not. I'm simply saying you can discuss hurtful information in a helpful way. And you know how I know that? Because every one of us have someone in our lives who does that very well. We all have someone in our life. It's a friend, it's a boss, it's a parent. We have someone who can come to us with the most tense, worst thing we've done, who can talk to us about mistakes we've made. And when it's over, we feel great. And we feel like, oh, did I just have lunch with Oprah? Like, what is happening? I just feel so good. And the reason you feel that way, is because that person, without realizing it or not, is putting this into practice. And they are filtering their words and they're filtering their communication, get this, not through what they want, but through what you need. You understand there's a difference, right? Most of the time, we communicate out of what we want. I want to be heard. I want you to know how much you hurt me. I want you to feel like I feel. I want you to suffer like I've suffered. And what Paul's saying is, guys, that I understand, but you're missing the point. You're missing the whole point of all this. Some people say, man, I just need to get this off my chest. You don't get it. I got to get this off my chest. And Paul would say, you know what you do? I fully understand you need to get that off your chest. But let me help you. Get it off your chest and give it to Jesus. Because he's the only one who can do anything about it. Remember we talked about 2 weeks ago, we talked about the hurts inside of us. Did you ever hear me say, deal with it? No. Did you ever hear me say, just let it go? You got to let those things go. No. I said, you got to lay them down. We've got to actually bring them to the one who has the capacity to help us. To the one who has the capacity to do something about it. And until we do that, we'll never be able to put this into practice. That's why some of your reactions right now is, this sounds impossible. This sounds too difficult. This doesn't sound possible. And let me say this. I'm going to say this 5 times before the end of our time today. Without Jesus, this is impossible. And the entire series, it's really cool, has been building to this moment. And the way it is possible for us to put this standard in our lives is by going back and applying everything we've discussed for the last 3 weeks and today. And wouldn't you know it, that's exactly what Paul does. See, in verse 29 is when he gives us this direction on how to use our words. If you go back a few verses, back to 21, Paul begins to explain how we get there. And I'd love to walk you through it real quick. So if you go back a few verses in Ephesians 4, starting at 21, Paul says this. He says, look, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, he's like, since you've done that, and if you've been around our church for any amount of time, you know all we do here is try to tell you the truth of Jesus and hope you can learn it. And hope that you can begin to apply it in your life. In this series, all we've done is share the truth of Jesus. Share the truth that we know because of our relationship with him, because he gave his life for us. We know our words are heavy. We know our words need healing because Jesus told us so. He told us that he could actually be the one who heals us. Which is why we were talking about it in weeks 1 and 2, we said these things. We said that even though our words reveal what we seek to conceal, that the light will heal what we choose to reveal. And the only way we're going to be able to get our communication under control is by allowing Jesus in to heal us from the inside out. That's the truth we learned weeks 1 and 2. And the way Paul says that, if you go back, the way Paul says that is, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, since you've heard these truths, since you've learned these truths, since you are aware of the power, since you are aware of the availability of Jesus, since that's happened, Paul then says this, you have to take a step. He says, since you've heard these things, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Guys, that's what we did last week. Last week we said, since you know these things, since you know Jesus is available, since you know he has power, you now have to take a step. You have to put it into action. And when you find yourself in fights, you have to make a choice. And it's a choice empowered by Jesus, but it's a choice you have to make for yourself. And the choice was this. When things get heated, we can choose to be curious or furious. We get to make that choice. We can choose curious or furious. And what we learned last week through Jesus' brother James is this, is that when we choose curious, we won't get furious. When we choose to be quick to listen, we will be slow to speak. And we will be slow to get angry. And we will then be able to actually figure out what's going on, why the other person's so upset, what's wrong, and we can provide some healing instead of some harm. That's what we've learned the last 3 weeks. Now, let's go back and let's put all this together, because what Paul is saying is, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Since we've talked about this for 3 weeks, since you know all these things to be true, and since you are making the choice to allow Jesus in, and since you are making the choice to try to throw off your old nature, something's going to happen. As you continue to follow Jesus, and as you continue to choose to throw off the old nature and to follow him, as you continue to make that choice, look what's going to happen. Paul says in the next verse, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. As we know the truth, as we apply the truth, something supernatural happens inside of us, and he renews us. He heals us. He cleans us from the inside out. Ask anyone in this room who's been walking with Jesus for a long time. They used to lose their temper 3 times a day. Now they lose their temper 3 times a month. Side note, the enemy's going to really try to get at you because you lose your temper 3 times a month. But if you used to lose it 3 times a day and now you use it 3 times a month, you're winning, not losing. That's a victory. That's a win. Celebrate it. Celebrate that thing. Every day I don't lose my temper is a celebration. Jesus, look what you've done. It's funny. In 2 weeks, what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about celebrating the wins because we tend to remember the losses and forget the wins. I think Jesus wants us to flip that. But some of you have been following Jesus for a while, and hear me, you're not perfect. You're never going to be. But don't miss when God's taking you somewhere and you look back and you, man, I'm farther than I thought I was. Thank you, Jesus. You're doing more of me than I thought you were. Because he is. And because he will, when we put all this together, when we know his truth, when we apply his truth, when we put it in our lives, he's going to renew us. He's going to renew our thoughts and attitudes. And that's when we are able, that's when we are able to put on our new nature. That's when we are able to embrace the new standard. And it's only when we do those things is this new standard possible. Now think about it. You still say, man, it sounds impossible. It sounds so hard. But listen to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I loved you enough to give my life for you. I'm powerful enough that even though I died on Friday, on Sunday, I walked out of the grave. So I'm all loving, I'm all powerful, and I'm telling you what I want to do for the rest of your life is heal you from the inside out, take away the regret, take away the guilt, take away the pain, take away the jealousy, take away the shame, fill it with me, fill it with my love for you and love for other people. All I need you to do in return is trust me. All I need you to do in return is take a step. All I need you to do in return is just put into practice what I'm saying for you, and when you do, this standard that we're talking about that you think is crazy will become your reality. Because I am who I say I am. And I will do what I say I will do. That is what Jesus offers. That is the package it comes in. And that is the context in which we, those who follow Jesus, can walk into and apply the command that Paul gives us when he writes these words. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, come on. You have an all-loving, all-powerful Savior who says, we're going to do this together. You don't have to do this on your own. This isn't about behavior modification. This is about internal transformation. This is about what Jesus can do in you and through you. And if I haven't been clear enough, let me be as clear as I possibly can be right now. None of this, none of this, none of this is possible without Jesus. None of it. He is the answer. He's the source. He's the only one who can heal us. He's the only one who can change us. He is the only one who can make it possible for us to embrace his command, which is this. If it won't build them up, I need to zip it up. Now, I know for some of you, you have a lot of questions. You have a lot of concerns. Trey, if I try to live this out in my life, people are going to take advantage of me. Trey, you don't know my spouse. You don't know my kids. You don't know my parents. You don't know my boss. You don't know that. You're right, I don't. I don't. You know who does? Jesus. He's got you. There may be times they hurt you. Guess what? He can heal it. But guess what? It may be that as he heals you, as he changes you, as you raise your level of communication, as you choose to only speak things that are going to build them up, you may find, without anything happening, that their communication changes too. Do you know why? Because as you stop lobbing bombs at them, there's less pain in them to come back out. And let me ask this question. What if God's eternal plan, what if his plan for this series and for you was to work through you and to change you? But he needs you to hold on for a while. He needs you to just trust him for a week or a month or a year or a decade. But what if eventually your change is going to lead to their transformation as well? What if God wants to move through you to transform them? What if? What if? And if the only thing holding you back is, well, I can't raise my level of communication because they won't either, I'm just really glad God didn't have that standard with us. Because he loved us first. He gave first. And I believe that what he wants to do through us, I said this 2 months ago, what I believe his vision for our church is to be a people that breathe life into those around us, that speak life, that make this our standard. If it won't build them up, man, I need to zip it up. Now, just imagine. In your home and at work, students in school, just imagine if this were to become the standard. This were to become your standard. Admit it. It would be better. And here's the cool part. It's not even dependent on us. It's dependent on an all-loving, all-powerful Savior who's already said, I'll do this in you if you let me. I'm ready. Just got to open up. So for those of you in the room who have a relationship with Jesus, what are you waiting on? What's holding you back from making this the standard? What's holding you back from embracing everything he's taught us, from embracing his healing, from embracing his way, and experiencing his results in your life? Whatever it is it worth it? Is it worth holding back from better? Now, I know for some of you in the room, every time I say you can't do it without Jesus, it stings a little bit because you don't believe in Jesus. And at the beginning of this series, I invited you to be a part of us, be a part of this series, to listen and to try to apply, and I'm sure many of you have. And you've probably learned that some of these principles, the curious and furious principle, it can work a little bit on its own. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it works, but something's not clicking. Something's not right, and it's Jesus. He's the missing ingredient. He is the key to all this. He is the key to healing. He is the key to health. And so if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now to change your mind. To embrace what we've been saying for 4 weeks, which is the truth that we all live. Life is better with Jesus. It's just better. Everything is better. And not only do we want to help you make this decision today, we want to be your church. We want to pair you with us in a circle with other people. I assure you, whatever your story is, there is someone in a circle at Wellspring that has your story. They have your spouse. They have the same parent story you do. They have the same kid parent story you do. They have the same story. And we can pair you together so that you can learn from them as you learn from Jesus. But the first step is to choose to follow him for yourself. And I would love to give you that opportunity right now. So if everyone would just bow their heads with me and close their eyes. And if you're here today and you are a Christ follower, if you would just join me in prayer right now that people will be open to making an eternal decision today. If you're here today and you say you don't believe in Jesus, but you want to change your mind today, you want to begin that relationship with him, you want to experience all that he has to offer, then just simply pray these words in your heart. Just cry out in your heart as I say them out loud. Say, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. Jesus, I admit that I've tried to do things my own way. And I admit I've done things that your Father didn't want me to do. I admit I'm a sinner. And I understand that sin broke my relationship with God. And Jesus, I believe that when you died on that cross, you took the penalty for my sin. You wiped it away. And then when you came back to life on Sunday, it was as a picture for me that I could come back to life too. All because of the price you paid. And so right here and right now, I commit myself to you. I believe that you fixed my relationship with God. I couldn't. I believe you made it right. And I believe through trusting you and through learning about you and applying what you want to do that you are going to make my life what you want it to be. So I commit to following you. I commit to joining a church, and I commit to being a part of a group who follows you. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for changing me. It's in your Son's name. Now, I'd like you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, because if you prayed that prayer now, I need you to know something supernatural just happened in your heart. See, we say a lot here, Jesus didn't come because we were bad and we needed to be made good. Jesus came because we were dead and we needed to be brought back to life. When we place our faith in Him, we begin a relationship with Him, we are given new life. And I like to give people a chance to proclaim their new life. I'm the only one looking around, but I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you prayed that prayer, if you changed your mind about Jesus today, and if you began a relationship with Him, I would like for you to just raise your hand as high as you can. Just as a public affirmation that, yes, God is doing something in my life, and I have faith today. It's very simple. Ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand. Shoot them up. Keep them going. Keep them up. Amen. Amen. Now everybody look at me. One more thing. If you just raised your hand, and I was looking, so I know who raised their hand. If you raise your hand, here's what I'd ask you to do. In your chair is a connection card. On that card is a little box. It says, "Today I became a Christ follower." Fill out that card, check that box. On your way out, take it to our info desk. We have a Bible for you. But more importantly, we want to help you connect in our church. We want to help you connect in a circle. This is not the end. This is the beginning of a lifelong journey. We want what we've talked about for you. We want the promise He has of healing you from the inside out, of changing you. And we know that that change happens best in the context of a group of people, of community, walking with you. And the only way we can know that is if you let us know. And so on your way out, drop that card off. We'll contact you this week. We can celebrate with you. We can talk about baptism. And we can plug you into people who are walking through the very same things you are. And who can help you experience all that God has to offer. Now, for everyone, as we wrap up, we're wrapping up this entire series. And we're going to end with a song. And I just wanted to quickly explain. We don't end with a song because we don't know how to end the service. We end with a song. Especially at the end of a series, because our hope is that the song in some way kind of cements and seals in your mind and in your heart what you are going to change when you leave. See, it's great to come in here and sit and hear, but if you don't apply what you learn in here out there, it has no value. And so we're about to sing a song that we think is pretty appropriate to the end of this series. And my prayer is that as we sing this song, that you will sing and that you will pray and that you will ask God to show you, okay, what needs to be different about me when I walk out these doors? What needs to change? What steps do I need to take to begin putting this into practice, Jesus, so I can give you access to my life so that you can do all these amazing things that you promised me so that my communication can change. What step do you need to take? I don't know what it is, but you do. So as we sing, as you sing these words, as you sing to God, ask Him to seal in your heart the very step you must take today to put into practice what He's taught you in the series so that He can begin to change you from the inside out. You can know it, but if you don't do it, it has no value. But if you know it and do it, He will renew you from the inside out. You will be able to put on your new nature. And the whole idea of building up and zipping up will seem like a thing of the past. Because your only desire will be to please Him and to love others. And that is how we breathe life into the grand strand. Let's pray. Father, we just love You so much. I thank You for Your love and Your compassion for us. I thank You for Your clarity. I thank You for Your practicality. I thank You that You care so much about something so simple yet so powerful. And Father, I pray for these people. May Your truth penetrate their hearts and change their lives. May we walk out of here transformed. May we walk out of here convinced Your way is best. So in Your Son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.